We are continuing our series on a sacrifice living holy and acceptable. Amen. A sacrifice living holy and acceptable. Let's turn to our foundation text for the umpteenth time. Romans chapter 12. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Always good to see the people of God coming out ready to hear the word of God. Amen. Amen. I trust that you are ready to hear the word of God. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 1. Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I exhort you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, and pleasing to God. Am I going too fast? Some of you don't have it yet. My bad. You know, I get excited and I just start reading and your folks are still turning. But you got to get to your page on the notes too. I forgot about that too. I like that. Let me just slow down and take a minute. Amen. Take a little time right now to say thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes. Glory be to God. For he is good and his mercy endures half of the time. Okay, I'm just seeing if you're awake this morning. His mercy endures three quarters of forever. Not quite. Forever. Amen. All right. That's called filibustering. Let you find your place, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Amen. Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I exhort and beg and urge you brothers, of course, implied in their sisters too, by the mercies, multiplied mercies of God, to present your bodies as a sacrifice, living, holy, and pleasing to God, which is your spiritual, rational, logical service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may approve what the will of God is, that which is good and pleasing and perfect or complete. Is the will of God not good? Is the will of God not pleasing? And is the will of God not complete and perfect? Even though the will of God for our lives may be a challenge and it's a struggle for some, a few more than others, when we understand who God is and what he's doing, then we'll be pleased because God is the one doing it, is the point I'm making. You, as children of God, we should, no matter what the will is calling for, we should get to a place where we can glory in it because it's God's will. And the word of God says about his own will that it is good, it is pleasing, and it is perfect and whole. Just a note there. We've been talking about presenting our bodies. And we asked why present our bodies. We found out because they're included in salvation, because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and they don't belong to us. They, meaning our bodies, don't belong to us. And by the way, that's our literal bodies. I mean, I know you probably know that, but our literal physical bodies do not belong to us. I think if you just land on that for a moment and think about that, you know, because you wash it, you feed it, you walk it, exercise it, or whatever you do, you work with it. I mean, and you're like, man, this is mine. I'm always in control all the time. Well, that's why you have to have this to kind of break through that. Because we'll get into the mundane, everyday in and out of just running our own body. You know, we do to a certain extent, but what we're doing is operating something that does not belong to us. Now think about that. It's like being in someone else's house. You're taking care of it and do a good job and put the flowers out and like the Julia's house there, make it look real pretty and juicy, but it's not your house. That's the bottom line. I mean, I'm glad the Lord has his land on this for a moment. It's not our body. This is not, it does not belong. And that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. You've been purchased. So no part of you, body included, belongs to you. It belongs to me, belongs to us. No part of our being belongs to us. Why is the Lord telling us that? Because then, you've heard it ad nauseum, because we don't have the right then to do whatever we want to do. We were just talking about that. When you were born again, when I was born again, when we were born again, those who are born again, recognize Jesus is what? Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord means master, owner, controller. Kurios is the word, K-U-R-I-O-S. He's our master. He now owns us. He purchased us. We were slaves to sin. Now we're slaves to righteousness. We were children of the devil. Now we're children of God. We were once enemies of God. Now we're friends seated at the table.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Does not have a right to do. You can't go here. You can do this. You can't do that. He has the right to do that. I thought about my time at Stark Welding. He had me start there. I started at Brianna's birthday, so I'll never forget that. I started August 9th, 2016. He's going to bring me out 12/23 of this year. His timing is everything. Period. That's why I keep saying, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Be led. Be led. Just be led. When one person left the church, they said, one thing I learned was just be led. Well, how being led are you? You're walking away from the church. Just be led. Ad nauseum. Just be led. And he'll lead you to remember that body is not your own. Even the very physical body is not your own. So we're to take these bodies, remember that they're the temple of the Holy Spirit, that we are not our own, don't belong to us. And the third reason is that we are to present our bodies, our literal physical bodies, is because our bodies are the instrument through which our will / our desires / our wants, our choices are displayed, good or bad, sinful or righteous, unholy, holy, ungodly, godly, whatever the will, choices, desires, and wants are displayed, they're displayed through our body, the members of our body. Do you understand that? Sometimes we hear things, I heard that, I got it. But do you understand that though? When we do things, we take the members and do them. I heard you say, yeah, but hear it. Because the Lord said, present your body. For him to do that, to make a point of that. Just think about that. He's telling us, I want you to give me your body. Present it to me. Submit it to me. It already belongs to me. Now give it to me. Listen to that. It already belongs to me because I purchased it. I bought you. And I don't care about slavery and all that. Let the Holy Ghost minister to you. Because the Word of God, this is all the Bible. Don't culturalize and ethnicize those are words, but today they are the Bible. Just teach the Word. He uses the word slave. He uses slave vernacular. He said, you are not your own. You are bought with the price. Let us know what the price was. We were purchased with the precious blood.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Then we need to understand that we don't belong to us. We don't have the right. We have a master who's over us. And everything the master tells us to do is for our benefit. Just think of that. This master would never do you wrong. After all, it was the master who died for the slave. What kind of a what?
Right. Thank you.
Forget culture out your mind.
That's right.
That he. This is not that.
This is not that. Thank you, Lord.
We taught a series. I think a person left the church not too long after this series, but the series was The Beauty of Slavery. And they weren't there much longer after that. Like, okay, God, dog, and I had enough of this guy. I'm leaving him. I'm gone. That particular individual didn't like me. I mean, that particular individual talked about me like a dog, too. I mean, just dogging out. I had no idea. You said, well, how do you know that? I had no idea. They came back to me and told me. Now, that's how God works. I have no idea. They're out there just running me down on the ground. We're at a restaurant. The individual comes up to me and says, I got to apologize to you and ask me forgiveness. And I'm kind of like, oh, okay. For what? I had no idea. I've been talking about you really bad. And I got to come in and I'm sorry. You know, I said, you are forgiven. Had no idea. When you teach the truth and stand on the truth, you're going to make enemies. And some of them may be of the household of faith. Mm. Supposedly. Oh, Abe looking like, I don't know about that one. But there is schism in the church. Don't be so strict. It ain't that deep. Lighten up, son. Lighten up nothing. That's the problem now. We've lightened up so much that there is, I can't say there's no power. In the work, the work never loses power, it's inherent. But there's no power in the preaching. There's no power in the teaching. They robbed it of all its power because they lightened, L-I-T-E, and whatever you did, the word. The power is in the word. And what these churches are doing, what the devil's trickily doing, I'm making up words, this helped me. What he's trickily doing is he's transferring that power from supposed power. He's transferring the real power to supposed power into the people. See, the power's not in the people. The power is in the word of God that the folks are supposed to be preaching. Now, the word of God does acknowledge the folks who bring the right word of God as a beautiful thing. So how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the glad tidings of good news and good news. It is a beautiful thing.
Yes, it is.
But the bottom line, the only way those feet are beautiful is because we're bringing the actual word of God.
Amen.
And if he says, if he uses slave vernacular and uses the word slave, the Greek word is doulos. If he uses, I think it's 181 times in the New Testament, 801 times in the Old Testament. Then that's, he's getting a point across. That's a lot of times. Now, either the pastors need to stand here and don't care what ethnicity the congregation is and just teach the truth. Because guess what? When you leave out of here and you are walking out by yourself and it's you and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, will have something to bring back to your mind. And that'll be the truth of God's word, not some fancy saying, not a soft, cotton candy-ish type of teaching that brings you no type of strength or understanding or wisdom. And really the desire to walk right before God. To really get out of yourself. To be more selfless before God. That's what it should do. Because we love ourselves. And we love to be comfortable. We love to make sure we get ours before everybody else. And sometimes we don't care if nobody else get anything. We're going to look out for ourselves. And the Lord knows that. And he saves us. Then he breaks through and tells us, you know what? You don't belong to you anymore. Can't do that anymore. You're no longer of your father, the devil. You're now, God is your, I'm your father now.
Amen.
And as your father, and you're my child, I'm telling you, you need to understand you don't own you. Live for me. And I'm going to coach you. I'm sure, because I'm going to send somebody else who's going to be in there coaching you every step of the way, asking how to do that. That's how you survive in a marriage. Going on 35 years. That's how you survive. Because he coaches you. And then we follow. Sister Rolanda, Danielle Crouch, Harris the First, and I, what we've done is that we've let the Word of God be our marriage Bible. It is our counselor. Isn't that Psalm 119? I rejoice in it because they are our counselors all the day. They teach everything. It's not the Bible's fault if we're continually having problems and not winning, if you will. Because remember, we're not just conquerors. We're what? More than conquerors. Uber Nakia. Nakio. That's where Nike comes from. The victor. We're not just victims, we're more than conquerors. And yet there are many Christians living defeated lives. The problem is easily diagnosed. The problem is that we're not obeying the Word of God constantly, consistently, and continually. For you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. That love, again, is in the present. It's present, active, imperative. Present means it's ongoing. You should be doing this all the time. Active is you got to love the Lord your God. Not somebody can do it for you. And then imperative means it is a command. And that command does not stop. It is eternal. It just when we get out of this life, when this life is over, and we're in eternity, we're going to love him perfectly. We're going to obey that command perfectly. You follow me? So the command is going to be forever once you're born again. Does that make sense? We struggle to do it here in time, in our life, our human body. But once we're rid of this right here, oh, bless the name of the Lord, we get to love him perfectly like he ought to be loved. Woo-wee! Because there's no devil in heaven, no sin, no flesh, nothing tempting you. Boy, I can't wait. Oh, yes, by the way, they got streets of gold and they got emeralds and diamonds and rubies. That's cool, too. Architecture is cute, it's powerful. But brother, no sin and no devil? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, throw that hand up there, holler at that Baptist hand. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Are you kidding me? I can't wait to get up there. No more LGBTQ, STUVWXYZ. No more of that. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we got, our hope is built on nothing less. Let Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Oh, I dare not trust the sweetest friend. I don't care how good a human being is, how wonderful they are, but you better not lean on that person. I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly, solely, only lean on Jesus' name. Christ, a solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. In case you didn't hear that first time, he said it again. All other ground is sinking sand. You better know where your feet are planted. Amen. And the doggone preachers need to plant, make sure they're planted on a rock that's being taught. Amen. And not sand. In Jesus' name. So our bodies, he demands them. Because it is an instrument that we use to express our various things. We began talking about last week, and maybe even 2 weeks ago, what are we to do? What actions are we to take to present our bodies as a living sacrifice? Anybody got the notes? What's the first one? Anybody got the notes? Got the first one? Yes. Recognize first to whom do our bodies belong? Belong. Word of God said, 1 Corinthians 6:15, that don't know you not that your bodies are members of Christ, so they belong to him. The members of the body belong to Christ. So before you take these members, fingers, brain, mouth, thoughts, knees, whatever. Realize you're taking members of, if you're born again, you're taking members that belong to Christ to do either that which is good or bad, holy or unholy, righteous or unrighteous. And then recognize that you are not your own. And that your body, and what your bodies are, yes. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to get this. I believe you're going over this again because we hear, because we kind of know things up here, but we're not really realizing seemingly what's really being said. Your body, your physical body, inside, literally inside of your physical body, resides the Holy Ghost. I don't know, we don't, I think we just think that's kind of, kind of out there, like Twilight Zone. But let's bring it into for real. Let's hey, Bukaluka, can you hear me talking to you? Let's lock in. This is real. The Holy Spirit, if you're born again, the literal Holy Spirit, literally, actually, lived, has taken a permanent residence inside your body, my body. You're going to bend both arms. Are y'all hearing this? That ought to scare you. That ought to do something to you.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a good response, too. Thank you, Lord. Inside, if you're born again, inside your literal physical body lives, resides, permanent residence. The Holy Spirit lives inside there. So when you go to do anything, good or bad, realize what's all happened. You're taking members that belong to Christ. You're taking the eyes. Remember, members mean the individual parts of your body that all belong to Him. And you're doing things, whatever. That's why you need to check yourself. Am I using the eyes that belong to Christ to see that which I shouldn't be looking at and gawking at? Or am I looking at the Word with something that is in agreement with Him? Am I doing something with these eyes that dishonors Him and blasphemes His name? Or am I doing something with these eyes that honor Him and uplift His name? I ask that question on everything I do. Yes. 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 Because He's worthy. What did He do for us? He got the stewie out of Him. Our stripes, our sin rather, was laid on Him. This chastisement needful to obtain our peace was laid, and by His stripes, His bruises, that beating, the taking out chunks of flesh, we're healed spiritually. He gets beaten and we get healed. And He asks us to do something we want to balk and squawk. Boy, it's a wonder He don't come down here and just, I mean, burnt toast crisp. In a heartbeat. He is so patient. He is so gracious. But I tell you what, you try, the Word of God says, I shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Our God is a consuming fire. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. All the verses warn us, and you better watch yourself.
Right.
Because at any given moment, He can flip it. And at any given moment, He can flip it. Then you really recognize, well, I guess I don't own nothing. I guess I don't own my body. Well, take it from one who knows. You're preaching, things are good, we out there talking, fellow and JR, and next time I go to the car, I can hardly make it to the car. And next time I go from here, ministering, and boom, to an hour after church, I'm laying up on Annapolis Hospital getting a CT scan of my brain. Flips. On a dime. Then I've had mercy. 2 hours later, every stroke symptom was gone. That's His mercy.
Amen.
Didn't have to do it.
Amen.
You don't control your health if you think you do. You're under illusion. You control nothing. You control nothing. Nothing. You can't keep your mind. It's God who keeps your mind. You don't make your heart beat. It is God who makes the heart beat. Every heartbeat is grace. 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 And when the grace stops, dead. 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 They come and collect you because you can't. You run nothing. I'm telling my wife, everyone in the world
belongs to a religion. Everyone. There are those who hate Christianity. They hate it with a passion, of course, because they're children of the devil. They want to hate Christianity. But they think they are religionless, the persons who are atheists and so forth. But their religion, I'm telling my wife, that they belong to is secular humanism, where man is God. Man is the center. They're very passionate about their religion. See, they look at Christianity and other religions as a cult, some even suggest. But they don't realize they're in a cult too, because you're very fanatical about making sure that man stays the center and that God don't interfere with this. We don't want this guy. We don't know nothing about this guy. Man is king. I'm the captain of my ship. I'm the master of my faith. I'm self-made. I run this. What a lie. What a lie. To that person, I said, well, make yourself not get old. Make yourself not die. Slide on some semen because of an accident and go make the skin that they need to put off rather than the painful skin grafts they got to do to cover up all that skin. Make that. Just make another sun. Make a sun half like that. And don't put it 93 million miles. Just put it 10 miles away. Go make one. What a lie. No wonder the Word of God says only a fool says there is no God. You're devoid of wisdom. It doesn't make sense. But the devil got them so fooled, they don't realize they're in a cult too, a religion. It's called secular humanism, where man is Lord to the glory of Satan. Don't know where that came from, but anyway, our bodies are the members of Christ. And they are the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing. Second thing we're to do, what's the second act? First thing we got to know that. We got to recognize this fact. That our bodies belong to Christ Jesus, and inside of these bodies lives the Holy Spirit. First thing we got to recognize, and I'm going to say that is in order. I think that we need to start there. In order for you to present the body like you should, understand that it's not my body, and inside of it, it belongs to Christ, number one, and inside of it lives the Holy Spirit. Second thing we need to do is, you might remember what you got, April. Yeah. Yeah. There you go. Kill, dead, put to death. Go ahead. Yes. Boy, she went on with the whole nine. Amen. Well, just come on and preach it, why don't you? That's right. Kill, deaden, put to death the activities of the body or the flesh. From be killing sin. This came from be killing sin, or sin will be killing you. We talked that years ago. And there was another title. It was hacking Agag to pieces. That's a whole nother teaching on that. You got to deal with sin. And weights, as the Lord continued to remind us through Sister April. Don't think you just take care of sin and let weights interfere. Weight is not a sin, but a weight is a problem. Amen. Problematic. Problematic. It's problematic. That's where the great coach comes in. I know we just taught this, but just again, that's where the great coach comes in. Because what is a weight is a personal thing. What's a weight to you may not be a weight to you. So you got to hear the Lord saying, you know, that's a weight to you. Meaning it's interfering with your walk with the Lord. It's interfering with your spiritual development and growth. Because the Word of God says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says grow in grace. And you ought to receive the word that you may grow thereby. You're supposed to grow. The Word of God speaks of maturity. He talks to the church of Corinth that was so infantile in their spiritual understanding. And he said, man, I got to teach these things all over again to you guys. You ought to be teachers yourself. Right. I can't say these things because you're not going to understand it. You can't get it. So there's growth. There's expected growth. Well, weights interfere with that growth. And if you really are serious about walking with the Lord, you're going to ask the Lord, what is it that's keeping me from growing? It may not be a sin, and it may not be obvious.
Because I'm thinking it's okay. But the Lord is imploring us again, listen to the Holy Spirit. Let him guide and direct. As to getting rid of some things that you don't need, or to start doing something that you may need to do in order to promote spiritual growth. Remember, herein, John 15, about verse 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear what?
Much fruit.
Much fruit. And notice in there is a pruning process. It's removing stuff. See, that's weights and sins. He's removing it. And he'll coach you. Question is, are we listening, number one? And number two, are we obeying? Sometimes we're hearing and we're not obeying. That's why when we say that saying, we say, your slave hears and obeys when the Lord speaks to us. So we got to put to death the activities, the deeds, the actions of the flesh. We went over that last week. Romans 8:13. If you're living according to the flesh, the dictates, desires, the man, the cravings of the flesh, you are going to die, which is talking about the second death, eternal death. That means you're not a child of God if you're living according to the flesh habitually. But about the spirit, you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Present, active, indicative. Putting to death presently, consistently, and continually, you're doing it, and it's a fact that this is what's going on. He said, you will live. You'll enjoy eternal life. And Sister Melinda went over it. When we talk about killing sin, putting it to death, it means to crush it, sap it of its strength, deprive it of its influence and power. And we talked about how to do that. We talked about thoughts, being aware of thoughts. We went to 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, and 5. There's a war that's in the mind. The battlefield is the mind. I told you, my prayers for me every day, just down to one prayer. Help me get my mind right. Walk me through my mind. Because if my mind is right, my words going to be right. My mind is right, my actions going to be right. And I don't care if I repeat this. I need to repeat it every time. We got to keep remembering that. Guard your mind. You're going to be just fine. You don't say or do anything apart from the mind. So we have the mind. If you're born again, we have no excuse for constantly just doing crazy stuff, saying stupid stuff, saying ungodly stuff. We have no excuse for that. There's nothing you can tell your Heavenly Father that is going to be satisfactory. And what are you telling yourself? That's my thing. You can't tell God. He already know you're tripping. What you going to tell yourself, though? You're lying to yourself. Remember, you can be self-deceived. That may not be when we taught that many times the Word of God. He says, the Word of God says, if somebody believes this and tells me, he deceiveth himself. 1 John 1:8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. You can deceive yourself.
Yes.
Well, why live in a deception when you got the Holy Spirit telling you, hey, that's not right? You got the mind of Christ. You don't have to think that, let alone follow through and speak it or act on it. Mm-hmm. Well, that girl ain't your wife. What you doing? Get your crazy self back over there at all night. What is wrong with you? I mean, the Lord will speak to you like that. Are we listening? You deprive sin of its power by letting it stay a thought and get out of your mind. What do you mean by letting it stay a thought? Meaning let the thoughts, yes, linger. You let it linger. Then that's where Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, which includes the mind, so is he. Well, I've taught this before, so say I now again. It's not every thought that just randomly comes into your head that you're going to suddenly become that thought. It's the thoughts that come and linger. If they stay in there, you have a great chance of becoming that thought. of speaking it and acting on it. That's why 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5 lets us know we're to cast down imaginations, thoughts, reason, arguments, theories. Cast down, capture it. When they try to exalt itself over and above the word of God, lead it captive and lead it, every thought, and lead it out of your mind. That's how you deprive it of power and sap it of its strength. Because what you've done, you've cut it off at the root. Bad behavior, bad mouth, comes, the root of it is the stinking thinking, if you will. The root of it is in the mind. The Lord goes over this like once a month almost here. I can't hear it enough for me personally. Amen. It's a constant reminder. 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 thoughts we think per day. We speak 30 to 40,000 words per day. Notice thoughts even more than words because you don't say everything that you think. So you can think more even than what you say. That is a scary, if you don't recognize that, that's a scary thing that you got to keep control of. And you can't do it. I can't do it. I got to have the Holy Ghost to help me control all that traffic in my mind. That's a lot of traffic. Thoughts coming through. Just coming through. All day. Then it starts over the next day. Some of us, we can't even get it at night. Can't stop it at night. We struggle at night. And you still thoughts coming. Can't even go to sleep. Lord, stop my mind from thinking. Help me. Yes. That's where the prayer comes in. Help me to recognize my limitations, shortcomings, and weaknesses. To distrust my own powers, my abilities, and strength. And to always, always look to you for aid, help, and support. Because I can't do it. That's way too much for me. 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 thoughts per day. All need to be analyzed, categorized. Throw this out. You know, it's like quality control. Those things are coming by you. You throw this out. Keep this one. That's like a conveyor belt. Remember Lucy, the famous one with Lucy, all the chocolate star messy. Put it up in the box. Put it in a hat. Put it in a bra. You know, to try to, you know. That's what it is. When we try, we get behind. That's a good analogy, too, because we can't do it. We get behind. Lord God, I need you. Simple prayer. Lord, help me with my thoughts. That's a simple prayer. And the rest of your whole body is under control. I know you heard 100 times, but I'm going to tell you to turn that for the 109th time. Turn over to James chapter 3. I think it's 3. James, let's see, chapter 3, verse 2. I want everybody to lift a hand when you have it, just up and down. Okay, all right. Gonna make sure everybody got it. Everybody look down, please. Verse 2. I'm reading from the LSB, NASB. For we all stumble in many ways. Is that not true? We do. We all do. If anyone does not stumble in what they say, in other words, in word, he is a perfect man able to bridle the what? Whole entire body? Do you see that? If you can control your mouth, you'll control your entire body. Now, if that does not set your geek on fire, I don't know what will. Especially if you really want to live for the Lord. Because I want to control my body. What's the key to controlling your body in this verse? Say it again. Hold on. But before that, we're going to, in that verse, it says mouth. Right? Word. It says word. Right? Let's read it again. Verse 2 again. Verse 2. For we all stumble many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, right? In word. right? He's able to control the whole body. Now, what Mike did, he got ahead of me because I'm trying to get back into even more. You control your mouth, you control your body. Now, what controls the mouth?
Mind.
So let's go with logic. If you control the mouth, you control your body. If you control the mind, you control the mouth. Then it's safe to say you control your mind, you can control your whole body. Because that, you understand that? Because that mind controls the mouth, which controls the body. So at the root of all of that, then, the key to control is the mind. If you just got that, which I'm going to keep on teaching, you are going to become a great child of God. Because you understand what's at the root of all your behavior and all of your verbiage. What's in that mind? I believe in Ephesians 6:17, I think. And taking the shield of faith, wherewith we are able to block, if you will, all dark, flaming missiles of the enemy, right? Those darts, those missiles are aimed, I believe, at the mind. You can see that, right? If I get your mind, I'm going to control your mouth. Control your mouth, control your body. So Satan, he's aiming those flaming missiles that the shield of faith blocks, won't be blocking, at the mind. Trying to get us to not think Christ-like. Remember, we have the mind of Christ. And notice he said that we have the mind of Christ. We need a mind renewal. Be not conformed to this world, we'll tell later. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, right. He understands that. We neglected our mind far. Even here still, we hear it. But until it's brought out again, we go back to just thinking kind of any. We're lazy with our Holy Ghost police force. Because there's a symbolically speaking, there in your mind is a Holy Ghost task force, security force. You know, you got Secret Service that's in there to guard your mind. The Holy Ghost is the head. And when a mind comes in, bam! That thing down immediately. Capture, ching, capture, walk it out immediately. We get lazy. Tell the police, well, no, we don't do. We have a good day. That's what all y'all sit down and just chill. And say, man, y'all just going home. Let's come on back tomorrow. The devil like, cool. Remember, more favorable and opportune time?
Yeah.
It's a favorable time. When a loved one dies in the family. And you are hurt and you're broken. You think the devil will give you a break? Oh, they're suffering. They're so vulnerable. They're weak. Let me really not bother them then. Are you kidding me? Dun, 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 dun. Charge! Well, good news, the Holy Ghost doesn't take the day off. We told him to go and relax, but he's still there.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank God. We so dumb. We're just not the brightest crayons in the box. Really, it's not the sharpest knives in the drawer. The mall is open, but ain't nobody shopping. I heard all of them. Too many times, I'm sorry. The mall is open, but ain't nobody shopping. Play with a full deck, but it's all jokers. Y'all get that in a moment. Yeah. How do we get so? Well, how do we get so lackadaisical or so forgetful? Because we're not constantly fighting. This fight is ongoing forever. You never put the sword down. You never put the shield of faith down. You never put your belt of truth down. You never put it down. You never take off the gospel of peace shoes. You never put down the shield of faith. You always keep on the helmet of salvation, and you always keep the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. You're supposed to always have the armor on all the time. What we do is we do take days off. We think it's not so bad. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. It is. Because it can be fatal. Now, you would not fail, not in the sense of losing your salvation,
But it can literally cost you your life. That's literal. Christians are killed because of disobedience. The Word of God says that in the book of 1 John. Disobedience can cost you your life.
And constant disobedience also can cause a miserable existence on this earth. You're still saved, but you are not a beacon light for people to see the glory of God. And you know the reality is, I can't live for you. You can't live for me. Your grandmother, who might have been great in faith, or your mom, who's great in faith, a mighty woman of God, you can't spill that over to you. It doesn't work that way. This is a personal thing. When he saves you, you are responsible for your relationship with your Heavenly Father. That's personal to you and him. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you the same power that he gives a pastor. Not more. Now we get more because we're pastors. We got to fight the same fight. Maybe even more intense because of our position. What he does is he gives us all of this weaponry. Then he expects us to use it for his glory. Too many real children of God are not walking in the joy of the Lord. They're not walking in the peace of God. They're miserable. Every time you see them, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Every single time. You're like, is that a spiritual? Is that a hymn? You're like, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I'm like, man, please. Jesus said, joy. I gave you joy. Hallelujah. Why you walk around with a sourpuss face all the time? Maybe you need to recognize, maybe you need to like whatever church you're going to, you may need to think about changing if that's all you're getting out of that. And nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Do you all sing that on Sunday? Yeah, man, every Sunday. Look at April. Woo-wee. Amen, says April. Amen. Yeah, man. If that's what they sing it every Sunday, they got a hymn. Nobody knows. I'm trouble I sing. You know how you get the African little thing? Man, y'all done made a song out of it. It's your theme song. Are you serious? That goes against what Jesus said, that the joy, I'm giving you my joy. I leave you my peace. This peace ain't coming just from anybody. It's coming from the Prince of Peace. And we're going to walk around in sadness and sorrow? Wow, how dishonoring to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our joy, to not walk in that joy. How dishonoring is that to him? My Lord and my God. One of the reasons we don't walk in that joy is because we are too much on our own mind. We're dipping our toes in the pool of secular humanism. We kind of like being our own God. We like being in fake control. We like that. It's fake. It's a lie. Smokescreen. It's not even real. It's froth. It's the foam on the root beer. You can see that foam, but go in and put your straw in there. You get air. You may get a half a drip vapor. What's that vapor, the water that condense, like you can get a little bit of the condensation, maybe you get just dripplings of it. Not even a full drop of water. You're getting mist. He lies to tell you that's real. We sucking on root beer foam, and the devil telling you, you're drinking real root beer. And that translate that to the Word of God. You're getting Christianity light in thinking you're getting the power that's all in that word. No, you're not. God come to you with clasped hands and a smiling face and a tilted head telling you you're living your best life now. You need to run from that guy. How do you kill sin? How do you crush it? Sap it of its strength. Deprive it of its power. It's got to be done through the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't do it. Let's go back to Romans 8, 13. All that was reviewed. Lord help us. We need to hear it though, don't we? At least I do. I know y'all already on your way to heaven and so glad, but I need to hear it. I got to hear it again and again and again. Because I want to win for Jesus, in a sense. I want to walk this thing out where he is truly being glorified. I'm born again for his glory. So if I'm not walking in the very reason why I even was born again, that's a problem to my Lord and Savior. If you really love the Lord your God with all your heart, or working toward that, loving him with all your heart, mind, and soul, you're going to be disappointed when you're not bringing him glory. And if you're not, I question your salvation. I'm not saying you're not saved. I said I question it. Because you ought to be very disturbed when your lifestyle doesn't bring him glory. And people see you and laugh when you talk about Jesus. Did you say Jesus? The way you've been acting? Oh, Lord. That's a problem. Romans 8:13. If you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if, here it is, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. How do you put to death the deeds of the body? By, through, because of, through the use of the power of the Holy Ghost. And where is he living? Don't be scared. Say it again. Yeah. So he's already there. That's the good news. He's already there. Just use him. If the Holy Ghost made a song, it'd be Bill Withers. Keep on using me till you use me up. Yeah. Can't use them up. Preach them. You already preach it. You can't use them up. But use them. I mean, that time, some folks, like real Christians, the Holy Spirit got cobwebs, spiders, you know, hearing crickets. No use, no action, no nothing. He's there. He's there, living inside right now. Lord, help us to get it. I just think sometimes you're looking at me like a calf at a new gate. You just don't know what to do. Come here. He's really, what the world? Is that somebody's phone? I'll say, come here. I'm like, wait a minute. Who the... No, that's not the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Come here. It will come here. The devil crazy. Let me interrupt. There's too much going on. There's too much word going. Let me go in with something crazy. My phone just started playing by itself. I'm going to come here. Wow. We know we're on the right track. We know we're on the right track. When you serve God, you make the devil, man, he hates you. He'll try to, man, when we talk a good word to someone, sometimes, man, the phone start going crazy and it's, the hang up all of a sudden, you know, and all that. That's all right. He not greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater, stronger, mightier, wiser, more powerful. Is he that is in us right now. Hallelujah. Than he that is in the world. He's in you right now. If you're born again. The Lord wants us to, I'm telling you, he wants us to get it. I think we're starting to just, like the coffee, the drips, just one drop. We're starting to drip down into our hearts. You've been hearing this for years. We got to realize he really is, if you're born again, he's really inside there. And the Lord is telling you, you need to make more use of them. Man, I can't find my keys. I'm calling the Holy Ghost. Look by my keys. I got to get to work on time. I can't be running around looking for these keys. How the mundane things. Then the Lord wants us to be so locked in him that even when we eat and drink, we do that to the glory. And then, what's that?
Yes.
Eating and drinking. Even that is a glorified God. Verse 13 again, but if you by the Spirit put the deeds to death of the body, you will live. We really took a long time on that, but that's okay. Oh, wow. We've been preaching almost 1 hour. That is amazing. Don't seem like that. We'll pick up next time. Father God, and my wife, I'll take a real deep breath. Help us to get our mind right. It's really simple. It's a really simple concept. It's so simple, it's scary, really. Like, that's all? Yeah, but then the execution of it, we just got to be diligent. Help us to be diligent in our execution of constantly monitoring our thoughts. Please, help us to understand the consequences of ideas. When they're left unchecked and they're not godly, they will have consequences, both spiritual and natural, and sometimes deadly consequences. Just as when we use our thoughts to obey your word, they have good, if you reap good things, there's good fruit, good reward, both spiritual and natural, that can lead to eternal life. Battlefield is in the mind. Help us to just, Father God, just keep that smack dab in the middle of our brain, please. So when we leave here, it's just stuck. That record is stuck. You're not your own. You bought the price. You're not your own. You bought the price. You control your body. Your mouth control your body. You control your mouth. You control your body. You control the mind. You control the mouth. You control the body. So help me to control my mind, that I may bring you maximum praise, glory, and honor through this body that you've given me. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.